climate change is already adversely impacting U.S. communities, and if nothing is done about it, the country may see damage to the economy, infrastructure, public health, and ecosystems. That's according to a government-mandated report on climate change, released the Friday after Thanksgiving. The report, issued by 13 federal agencies, predicted that if significant steps are not taken to curb global warming, the damage will cut as much as 10% off the size of the American economy by the end of the century. Here to discuss what it means and what students can do to address the issues laid out in the report is Michael Weintraub. He's a professor of soil ecology in the Department of Environmental Sciences here at the University of Toledo. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here today. I've been teaching a climate change course in the Department of Environmental Sciences at UT since 2009, and that effort has been expanding. Now, in addition to the online course I've been teaching the whole time, we now have an in-person version of the course that will be available this spring.
So we'll get into things. It's a lengthy report. I think it clocked in at over 1,600 pages, if I'm not mistaken. It's available online, and we'll link it on our website. So what were some of your biggest takeaways from the report?
So first, I just want to start with a few key details about this report. So back in 1990, Congress passed the Global Change Research Act, and this required the U.S. Global Change Research Program to deliver a report to Congress and the President at least once every 4 years. And this report is supposed to integrate, evaluate, and interpret the findings of the Global Change Research Program, analyze the effects of global change on the natural environment, agriculture, energy production and use, land and water resources, transportation, human health and welfare, human social systems, and biological diversity. So it covers a lot. And it also analyzes the current trends in global change, you know, from human causes and from natural causes, and it projects major trends for the upcoming 25 to 100 years. In particular, what was just released is Volume 2 of the Fourth National Climate Assessment delivered by the U.S. Global Change Research Program, again, at Congress's mandate. This Volume 2 focuses on the human welfare, social and environmental elements of climate change and climate variation. Volume 1 gave us a detailed analysis of how climate change is affecting the U.S. and provides the foundational physical science upon which much of the assessment of impacts in this report is based. Where did this come from? How do we know that we can trust it? Who wrote this? Well, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is one of the main agencies that deals with climate in the U.S., served as the administrative lead agency for preparing this, but the team included more than 300 federal and non-federal experts, including people from state, federal, and local governments, tribes and indigenous communities, national laboratories, universities, and the private sector. And a key point is all these people, they volunteered their time to produce this assessment. No money exchanged hands, they were not paid, and they collected input from external stakeholders at every stage of the process, including the people who would be impacted by this information. Mm. They held a series of regional engagement workshops that reached more than 1,000 people in over 40 cities. While they had listening sessions, webinars, and public comment periods to collect input and share that with environmental managers, scientists, educators, and representatives from business and non-governmental organizations, and of course the public. Okay, so big report involved lots of scientists from the government, not just the government, included people from private industry, none of them got paid.
Hmm.
What did it say? One, the Earth's climate is now changing faster than at any point in the history of modern civilization, primarily as a result of human activities. of course, they considered natural causes of climate change, and they just don't add up to the changes in the climate that we've been observing. And a key point here is that we're no longer facing a situation where the climate is going to change. The climate has already changed so much that the assumption that our current and future climate conditions will resemble the recent past is no longer valid. In short, the climate's already different than it used to be. Climate change is transforming where and how we live already. Just look at Florida, in the coast of Florida, and it presents growing challenges to human health and the quality of life, to our economy and the natural systems that support us. And really, a big focus of this report was on the economy and the economic impacts of doing nothing. The impacts of climate change are already being felt in the United States and are projected to intensify in the future. But the severity of those future impacts will depend largely on actions taken to reduce our current greenhouse gas emissions and to adapt to the changes that will occur. And these, like I said, these changes are real, and the need to adapt to them is real too. I just heard on the news yesterday that the city of Houston is pulling together with the Army Corps of Engineers a project that would cost nearly $100 billion to try to build a sea gate to prevent coastal flooding. They don't know if they're going to get that money, but you know, that's the kind of action that's being considered today, and that's the kind of money that's being, you know, talked about, you know, spent today.
I think an important note here is that although some of the things you're laying out in the report may seem dire and sort of threatening, it depends on human action. These aren't, although some of the facts laid out in the report are already happening, it doesn't necessarily mean our economy will be cut by 10%. It just means we have to take action now.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Ben. And in fact, because we're already seeing the impacts of climate changes, we don't have a lot of time to waste. And if we want to prevent some of the worst impacts, you know, we've run out of time to act. But the good news is that actions now will still make a really big difference in preventing harm in the future. You know, another piece of good news is that Americans are increasingly recognizing the risks that climate change poses to their everyday lives, and they're beginning to respond more and more, at least at the local level, sometimes at the state level. And that's due to a recognition that climate-related risks will continue to grow without action. And doing nothing is a course of action, and it's a course of action with consequences. And as we're starting to, you know, see what those consequences look like, that's motivating more action. People are realizing, you know, decisions that we make today determine the risk that our current and future generations will be facing. You know, what are our kids and grandkids' options going to be? What's their environment going to look like? It's decisions now that are going to impact that.
Well, I also wanted to, you did mention the state and local level response, and I did want to touch on the federal response because that does play a role, obviously, in climate policy. So President Trump did respond to this report, and I wanted to touch on his administration's response at large. So the short of it is the data and analysis are at odds with the administration's skepticism surrounding climate change. And I just wanted to play some tape here of President Trump speaking with reporters about the report.
I've seen it. I've read some of it, and it's fine.
Did they say economic impact is devastating?
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Don't believe it?
No, I don't believe it. And here's the other thing.
So I know some of that was a little hard to make out, but basically he was doubtful of what was laid out in the report, especially the economic impact. So I kind of wanted to get your take on that, Michael. What do you make of the Trump administration's response to that report?
Well, Trump's climate change denial stance sounds extreme compared to other politicians. In essence, he hasn't veered from the traditional Republican platform of denying or minimizing the risks of climate change, despite the well-established science. In fairness, however, the Democrats, while less in denial, have also not taken this issue seriously enough. Our elected officials, Democrats too, have re-election campaigns that are often supported, sometimes indirectly, by fossil fuel money, which means that, in the end, they're representing the fossil fuel industry's interests. You know, that's kind of where things stand. You know, the real constituency of our elected politicians is the, you know, the donors.
Mm.
And as long as we keep electing people who are taking money to represent the interests of the fossil fuel industry, that's what we're going to see.
And so I kind of wanted to get into our final part of this discussion. What can students, say here at the University of Toledo, do? What steps can they take to help?
Well, the first one I want to emphasize is that this is something you've got to talk about. Talking about climate change and not being shy about it, in the long run, this is how society changes. I think a lot of us have been afraid to discuss this issue in polite society, you know, following the old adage, you know, don't talk about politics and religion around the dinner table.
Mm.
And because the fossil fuel industry has been funneling money into political campaigns to prevent action on this issue, this scientific and environmental issue has become overly politicized. Well, we need to break the taboo about talking about these political issues, and we need to talk about it. You know, beyond that, you know, there are some things that we can do as individuals in our own lives that really do make a difference, even if you can't immediately see that difference. A lot of people are surprised to hear that eating less meat makes a really big difference. There's a huge carbon emission footprint associated with meat production. I'm not saying you have to go vegetarian or vegan, but any bit that you cut back helps. You know, and then of course there's the traditional energy saving measures like turning down the heat in your house, flying less, and driving less. But I want to emphasize that you don't need to blame yourself for needing food, heat, or transportation. There is only so much any one of us can do, and it's not up to us as individuals to shoulder all the blame for this. And in fact, in the long run, the biggest impact we're going to have is by voting. Mm. Voting for candidates who support a fact-based approach to policymaking, in particular addressing climate change. You know, and beyond that, if you want to learn more, I encourage you to sign up for EES 2200 or Climate Change, either the in-person version this spring or online next fall, to learn more about climate change science and how to talk about it. And climate change communication is a big focus of the class.
Michael Weintraub is a professor of soil ecology in the Department of Environmental Science. He also teaches a class on climate change. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
That's it for IC Audio. I'm Ben Morse. So we'll get into things. It's a lengthy report. I think it clocked in at over 1,600 pages, if I'm not mistaken. It's available online, and we'll link it on our website. So What were some of your biggest takeaways from the report?
So,